Just like the Doctor from Doctor Who, we keep going back to London. Up next, little Stardusties, we'll be discussing the Highgate Vampire. Stay tuned, little Stardusties. Only on Star Queen Paranormal. Star Queen Paranormal.
Things are a bit off.
Align the stars with the bizarre. This is Star Queen Paranormal for the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal. Greetings, Earthlings. This is your spaghetti noodle of the spiritual realm. Enthusiast of the strange and extraordinary, space pirate and star queen. I am your host, Exie. Now, as I said in the teaser, we keep coming back to London. Today's episode is no exception. We'll be discussing the Highgate Vampire, the vampire of the Highgate Cemetery. Ow! Vampires of London. Look, that worked out better in my head than it did out loud. I'm keeping it. But before I rattle your brain with some tales of the spooky, I think I need to remind you of your power. And today's power number is 35. For this, you see, is the 35th episode. Just in case you're new here and haven't connected the dots yet. So, this is the 35th episode. Let's learn some stuff on the number 35. Angel number 35 is a message from your angels and ascended masters that they are with you and will assist and guide you through important changes. Angel number 35 tells you to trust that once these positive changes take effect, you will find that many new opportunities will present themselves for you. Know that these changes will be of long-term benefit to you and are in alignment with your life purpose and soul mission. Angel number 35 also tells you to rely upon your communicative and creative skills and abilities to allow yourself to keep an open mind and an open heart as the changes currently taking place in your life. Trust that your highest ideals and desires may manifest as a result. And that's just some stuff on the number 35. Oh, and the source for those angel numbers today were from Sacred Scribes Angel Numbers .blogspot.com. Well, we've done our spiritual stuff. Do you know what that means, kiddos? It's time to turn down your volume. Just for a second. Because it's time for Terrible Tarot! Feel the terribleness of the tarot. For those who are new here, I will pull three cards and interpret them terribly. Now here, you can hear me shuffling terribly, because that's the name of the bit, you see. Also, just a quick friendly reminder that if you want to be part of the collective that is not so terrible, you can head on over to my Patreon, where I have a collective reading for the not-so-terrible tarot, where I put some serious thought and effort into my interpretation. That would be patreon.com/starqueenparanormal. Star Queen Paranormal!
And today's lucky cards for my lucky Stardusties are the Ace of Pentacles, the King of Wands, and the King of Swords. Two kings! Must be nice. Gaze deeply into the void while I gaze deeply into your cards. Well, little Stardusties, it appears that you have come into some kind of abundance. Whether it be financial, emotional, spiritual, or just in the form of gifts from friends and loved ones, the universe has provided something wonderful to you. However, the cards are saying that you are not as confident as you would like to be, as you normally are.
For it's depicting you right now as the King of Wands, and he's a fiery and passionate and creative king. But he came in reverse, and I don't normally read reversals, but this felt important. So even though you are normally a fiery and creative and possibly handsome or beautiful person, and you've received this amazing abundance, you're not sure if you're worthy of such abundance. Even though I know for a fact that my Stardusties always are worthy, the cards are encouraging you to stand in your truth, maintain your boundaries, fearlessly accept these gifts of abundance, and stand firmly in the reality that this is who you are. You may have come in shyly, but you are also logical and grounded, a good thinker, strategic. The cards are assuring you that whatever decisions you've been making are probably the most logical and correct decisions. Carry on, my wonderful Stardusties, and I hope you regain some of that confidence. And that was truly terrible. Going again with a channeled message today. This channeled message is from January 20th, 2023. Sometimes we have to let ourselves fall completely apart in order to understand how to put it all back together again. In today's bizarre headline, from January 19th, 2023, a man from Dominica was rescued by the Colombian Navy after being stranded at sea for 24 days. Elvie Francois, age 47, was making repairs on a sailboat in December when the current swept him out. He called up his friends on his cell phone for support, but he soon lost signal. Francois says he survived by eating ketchup, garlic powder, and seasoning cubes. He collected rainwater with cloth. Francois scrawled help across the hull in English to get the attention of passing aircrafts. He told the Colombian Navy that he had to constantly remove water to prevent the sailboat from sinking. He said he'd tried to start a fire as a distress signal, but all attempts had failed. Francois says he had just about given up hope. As luck would have it, he was able to catch the attention of a passing plane with a mirror. Upon his rescue, he was immediately checked over. And other than some weight loss, Francois seemed in good health. And like we said in an earlier episode, maybe even the previous episode actually, impossible things happen every day. Please enjoy the promo while your party is reached.
Hey! Welcome to Shamblefest!
I'm Jess.
I'm Amber. And we are your one-stop weekly shop for news shambles.
We're a weekly WTF and current events comedy podcast. We drop episodes every Monday morning. Tune in.
Shamble on!
Before I begin the story, just wanted to say that there were a lot of varying accounts of what happened with the Highgate vampire story. So I collected snippets from various sources and tried to throw them together in a manner that makes sense, time-wise. However, if a Stardusty hears this, and I seemed to have pieced something together incorrectly, I encourage you to write to starqueenparanormal@gmail.com, and I will put the correction on the next episode that I'm recording. I do these in advance, so it may be a later date than the next one. And now, without further ado, the Highgate Vampire. The Highgate Cemetery was established in 1839, or 1838, depending on your source. Being a part of the Magnificent Seven Cemeteries, Highgate Cemetery was once considered a fashionable place for burials. It is the final resting place for many artists, writers, and philosophers, including German philosopher Karl Marx and Douglas Adams, famed author of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
but it's also the final resting place for over 170,000 people. 53,000 graves. And it was often referred to as the Garden of Death. As the passing of ages crept across the cemetery, it's not a wonder that Highgate Cemetery became known for its dark, decrepit atmosphere. In fact, Adams once wrote that Highgate Cemetery was a chilling scene of utter ruin and decay, where vaults yawn into the shadows and gravestones crumble beneath one's feet. And being a cemetery, it's not a wonder that stories of the paranormal would emerge from such a place. In 1965, locals reported ghostly sightings in the eastern part of the cemetery. One figure is described as a woman with long white hair, who floats among the graves, searching for the headstones of her children. The main gate to the eastern side was also said to have been guarded by a spectral skeleton. But it is the western side of the cemetery where rumors of black magic and vampires emerged. It is believed that this side of the cemetery was a popular place for people to conduct occult rituals. But in 1965, a gentleman out for a stroll with his beloved dog passed the western gate. That's when he said he felt a chill, and he observed an unnatural stillness in his surroundings. He said he watched a black liquid substance flow down the cemetery wall. It materialized into a tall man in dark clothes. He had glowing red eyes. He said his dog even growled at the apparition before they both took off down the street. Quote, "There was no face. Where eyes would have been, if it were human, there were just two red pits, red glows. This wasn't a ghost. This was an entity. It was simply not human." In the wonderful year of 1967, a young couple walking by that same gate spotted an unsettling face peeking through the grates, staring at them. Confused, the couple stopped to look back at the face. The figure slowly vanished. The man, Thomas O'Loughlin, was so intrigued by this encounter that he said he returned to the cemetery with a friend the following night. They said that they heard an odd booming noise, and a shadowy figure passed in front of their path. Both men fled the cemetery and never returned. Later on in 1967, two teenage girls walking through the western section reported seeing the dead rising from their graves. Other paranormal encounters, though not clear as to what year they were reported, include the tall man in a hat, a spectral cyclist, a woman in white, possibly the same or similar as the woman with white hair, an eerie figure wading in a pond, a pale gliding form, bells ringing in the dead of night, and disembodied voices. In March 1969, the British Psychic and Occult Society started to receive reports of a tall, dark apparition. One witness said that he felt hypnotized by something lurking in the shadows. He said as he made his way to the exit, he began to feel lost and disoriented. He felt the presence of something lurking behind him. He spun around to see a tall black figure that disappeared upon being discovered. Then, dead foxes began to show up around the cemetery, said to have deep lacerations in their necks and drained of blood. In February 1970, the Hampstead and Highgate Express published articles, one titled, "Does a Vampire Walk in Highgate?" and another, titled, "Why Did the Foxes Die?"
The public was led to believe that perhaps the strange deaths of the foxes were the work of a vampire or evidence of a cult ritual sacrifice. It was around this time that rival ghost hunters took it upon themselves to investigate the case of the Highgate vampire. The first of which was David Ferrant, who was president of the British Psychic and Occult Society. He initially dismissed the claims that the foxes were dying because of vampires. However, he did not rule out magic rituals or even a servitor or shadow people. Ferrant and his team investigated the cemetery themselves and even had their own encounter with a tall, dark, or gray, cowled figure. Now, I think it's important to note that Ferrant's page, even though he passed away in 2019, asserts that he has avoided using the term vampire when discussing the Highgate entity. That he believed there was some kind of entity there, but he never labeled it as vampire. The rival paranormal hunter, Sean Manchester, was a self-proclaimed exorcist, vampire hunter, and a self-proclaimed bishop of one source calls the Old Catholic Church, and another says the Celtic Catholic Church, but he said that it wasn't affiliated with the Vatican. Manchester went on to interview witnesses of the black figure from Highgate. He spoke to Thomas O'Loughlin, the man who had seen the creepy face with his girlfriend and then came back the next night with a friend. And Manchester invited O'Loughlin to return to the cemetery to investigate it with him, and it is said that O'Loughlin refused. During Manchester's investigation, he happened to come across one of the teenage girls who witnessed the dead rising from the graves. Her name was Elizabeth Wajdila. She told Manchester that after she witnessed the dead rising from the graves back in 1967, she began to have dreams about a malevolent entity with a cadaverous appearance trying to break into her room. Manchester had noted how fragile and pale the young girl appeared to be herself. Wajdila also told Manchester that around that time is when she first started sleepwalking, experiencing nausea and headaches. Now, after Manchester's visit with Elizabeth, Elizabeth's boyfriend contacted him and assured him that Elizabeth was under a doctor's care now, and the doctor has ordered dietary changes and supplements, but he contacted Manchester because he was concerned that Elizabeth had puncture marks on her neck. It was at this point I think Manchester was certain that he was dealing with a vampire. He came back to Elizabeth and gave her a silver crucifix to wear around her neck. He sprinkled salt and holy water in her room. He hung up garlic and a crucifix on her wall. And it is said that Elizabeth started to regain her health after that. There is another report of a teen in the area, a local teen, not one that I think had an encounter at the Highgate Cemetery, but this teen reported being awakened in the middle of the night by a cold, clammy hand touching them. And I think as Manchester continued to investigate the Highgate entity, he must have concluded that not only was it a vampire, that it was perhaps a vampire king who practiced black magic. Still, other paranormal and bizarre reports emerged from the Highgate area and the cemetery. One witness saw a trail of blood leading to a mausoleum. Another witness claims to have seen a dark figure disappear into a vault. Two other people said they saw a dark figure rise from the ground and move quickly through the cemetery. A nearby pub owner said that at the pub, They heard footsteps when the pub was empty. Doors would open and close. And they would frequently see an apparition in Elizabethan attire. Another woman came forward with afflictions of sleepwalking and puncture wounds. I can't find it in my notes, but I believe the other woman is named Louisa. And finally, a woman stepped forward claiming to have been tossed to the ground by a tall, cloaked apparition. Enough was enough. Both Ferrant and Manchester vowed to extinguish the evil from the Highgate Cemetery by any means necessary. Meanwhile, the media latched on to the stories, and so did the public, possibly fueled due to the resurgence of the popularity of vampires in media at the time. On Friday the 13th, 1970, a mob of over 100 people, armed with crosses and wooden stakes, descended upon the cemetery. They broke past police protective barriers and proceeded to vandalize and desecrate graves and bodies in hopes that they could stop the Highgate vampire. Even during the mob, some members claimed to have seen something crawling in the shadows. One person said, "I walked past the place and heard a high-pitched noise. Then I saw something gray moving slowly across the road. It terrified me. I've never believed anything like this. Now I'm sure there's something evil lurking in Highgate." After the day of the vampire-hunting mob, the rumors and reports of the ghosts and vampires of Highgate Cemetery seemed to dwindle down. Both Ferrant and Manchester claimed to have dispatched of the entity themselves. However, the rivalry between the vampire hunters lived on. Had the rivalry between these two magical men somehow sparked mass hysteria that culminated into a mass vandalism event? Or was there really a shadowy entity skulking about in Highgate Cemetery, devouring fox blood and enchanting young girls in their sleep? What do you believe, little Stardusties? Do you have any paranormal stories you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Check out Facebook and Instagram, where your Star Queen occasionally remembers to post. Show that you love us by going to patreon.com/starqueenparanormal and donating as little as a dollar so that you can access bragging rights that you support your favorite show. That could be you! And so, Stardusties, in the wise words of a tour guide I met in New Orleans, garlic can keep the vampires away. But enough garlic can keep anyone away. Always remember that you are mightier than the monsters. Until next time, on to the next phase in life. May your path be paved in starlight. Continue existing as you would, my dudes.